Okay, this is a special call meeting to address the unified plan. First order of business is to approve the agenda. Do you have a motion? Oh, do we do roll call first?
Nope, you're okay. I move we approve the agenda as written.
This is Neil, seconded.
It was Jane.
Do you have a move and a second? Any opposed to the motion? Motion approved. Sorry, I have to pull up my agenda really quick. Of course, it's not cooperating. Can somebody tell me the second item on the agenda? I'm not able to pull it up for some reason.
The only item that's on there, Pam, is an action item. It's one, and it's review and discuss of the draft of the fiscal year 2020-22 UPWP. And Mark will be presenting this.
I can go ahead and start my presentation if you're ready.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to thank everybody for their time at the special called meeting. We're here today to review the draft fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program. This is the proposed staff work program and budget for Core MPO for the fiscal year beginning July 1st of this year. Now, today, we are only soliciting feedback, comments, suggestions. We will ask the committee to take a formal action to endorse the UPWP to the MPO board at your next scheduled meeting. And advancing slides. So the UPWP details the staff budget and work projects in support of the federally mandated 3C continuing, cooperative, and comprehensive transportation planning process. It highlights our funding, the staff work tasks, and the budget for the specific work tasks that we'll undertake. The MPO receives two federal planning grants by formula allocation each year. They are the Federal Highway Administration PL grant and the Federal Transit Administration Section 5303 planning grant. Both of the grants require 20% local match. The local match comes from the MPO members who pay dues, including in-kind match.
Mark,
also,
Mark,
yes.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but your screen's not showing.
Oh.
We only see the agenda.
Sorry. Wait, let me try it again. Did that work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, folks. I'm going to I'm trying to pin Darlene's screen just so I can it's not working for me, but I'll continue. Both grants require a 20% local match with MPO dues covering that. In addition, GDOT provides half of the local match for the transit planning grant, and the locals pay the other half. Funds can only be used for planning, and any funding that we do not use in a given year are forfeited. There's no rollover from one year to the next with our planning funds. So this is our total formula funding for next fiscal year, $628,420.04. The federal PL grant is $360,143.03. That's federal share. The FTA Section 5303 grant is $142,593 federal. In addition, I mentioned that the funds are forfeit. Our formula funds are forfeited at the end of a year if we don't spend them. They don't go away entirely. They are pooled in Atlanta by Georgia DOT, and they become discretionary funds. Those funds can be applied for twice a year to do particular planning projects. There's currently a balance of about $4 million. $3 million of that is reserved for MPO long-range plan updates. So there's about $1 million still left today by my rough estimate that could be used for other studies. We did just have the March round of funding applications. So the next chance to apply for those funds will be in the fall at the, in early September. It's a competitive selection process. Plans and studies must be in the MPO's UPWP, the prioritization criteria for the discretionary funds, favor the required MPO planning products, but awards have been made for a wide range of non-required plans and studies around the state. The applications are screened by Georgia DOT and Federal Highway Administration staff for eligibility. Awards are approved by the PL Funds Review Committee, of which each Georgia MPO is a member. And they, again, the discretionary funds require 20% local match by the project sponsor. In addition, the FTA 5303 planning grants have a smaller amount of discretionary funding available every year. Instead of millions of dollars, it's probably more in the order of magnitude of, you know, maybe $100,000 or so the last time I looked. It's much smaller pot of money, but we have successfully worked with CAT in the past to get them some of that money. We got them, I think most recently, a couple of years ago, about $27,000 for scheduling software. We're going to try to do that again in 2023. Applications for the 5303 discretionary funds must be submitted in December. So that means it's already too late to apply for discretionary funding for 2022. Those applications are reviewed and approved by Georgia DOT. Again, 20% local match from the sponsor required. Discretionary funding we currently or recently have received at the MPO. In 2018, we received discretionary funding for the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange study. Also, the I-95 Airways Avenue interchange study. And those wrapped up at the end of calendar year 2019. In fiscal year 2020, as I mentioned, we were able to pull down a discretionary award of $27,000 for CAT that they used toward purchasing transit planning software tools and data. And we're planning to go back with a request for 2023. So we'll be working with Bryn over at CAT on that in the near future. In fiscal year 2021, the current fiscal year that we're now in, we have received discretionary awards of PL funds for the State Route 21 Access Management Study and the State Route 307 Corridor Study. So a quick recap of the UPWP development process so far. We issued, it really started last fall when we issued a call for plans and studies in October of 2020. Also in October of 2020, we reviewed the transit planning task proposals with the core MPO boards and advisory committees. In December of 2020, we made our application for our FTA Section 5303 grant through Georgia DOT. Between December and January of 2021, our staff developed the draft UPWP. The draft work program was submitted to Federal Highway Administration and GDOT for review and comments on January 8th of 2021. And the draft UPWP was initially submitted for the February core MPO meeting agendas. But after we had initially included in the agenda packages, we received a rather large number of comments from Federal Highway Administration on February 12th. So it was decided to continue the UPWP to the April meetings, which is where we are. So the UPWP is currently under redevelopment, and we'll go back to the MPO in late April. The revised draft, the one in which we have begun to respond to Federal Highway Administration comments received, was published on the MPO website for review and comment on April 2nd, 2020. We're here today to receive comments on the draft. We will come back at your next regularly scheduled meeting and request a vote from the committee to endorse the work program. And we anticipate that the core MPO board would approve the work program on April 28th. And so at some point after that date, but prior to June 30th of 2021, Federal Highway Administration would need to approve the work program so that we could begin the process to execute our 2022 funding contracts. We don't have a date certain for that, but we need to act on the UPWP this month to ensure that we can get the contracts executed timely. So the major staff work priorities for 2022 would be to begin the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. Also begin our update of the congestion management process and the MPO freight plan update. We also will be continuing to work on the State Route 21 Access Management Study and the State Route 307 Corridor Study. In addition, we will be responding to the federal certification review recommendations. We just received our quadrennial review final report at the end of March. The MPO is certified for another 4 years, but there was, as there normally is, a fairly long list of recommendations. So we'll be making a good faith effort to incorporate those specific recommendations into the draft UPWP, and we'll be focused on those in particular in the first half of the year. Later on in fiscal year 2022, we're expecting that the census urban area definitions will be published. That has a deterministic impact on the MPO in terms of our planning area.
I think they're working on the system, so that might be why, because I just tried to get into another. Yeah, I think it's we're down.
Pam, you need to mute.
You need to mute. in 2020, the census will, I mean, in 2020, summer of 2022, the census will release its 2020 urban areas. What that will do is it will have a deterministic impact on the MPO planning area. We may need to expand the boundary. That is normally what happens, but we'll have to wait until we see what that looks like. When you change the planning boundary, then it makes sense that you need to revisit your board and advisory committee representation to make sure that it's still reflective of your membership. So that's something that will be happening late in the year, but probably continuing into fiscal year 2023. A quick look at the way the staff work plan program is organized. We have five major tasks, each with multiple subtasks. We have administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, transit planning, and special studies. And of course, administration is everything we do on a day-to-day basis to keep the MPO operating, to keep hosting these meetings, and facilitate the 3C planning process. We also have a training and development subtask for our staff. We also have equipment and supplies, purchases each year, contracts and grants, subtask, which we use to administer our grants, also to develop those grants. The work program is covered under this task, as is the participation plan. A public involvement task includes community outreach and education, and environmental justice and Title VI planning. The data collection and analysis task includes the congestion management process and ITS operations, livability and transportation alternatives, freight and intermodal planning, metropolitan transportation plan, including the plan update, and the transportation improvement program. The transit grant we have broken out in its own category here with its own support, program support and admin, its own short and long range planning, transportation improvement program as it relates to transit projects, and its own MTP item because it's separate funding. In addition, we have the special studies that I mentioned earlier going on right now. We have the 21 access management study and the 307 corridor study that have both kicked off here within the last month. In addition, we have had a series of additional studies that are proposed that we have not yet secured funding for, which we may be pursuing in the coming year. They are the State Route 204 study between King George Boulevard and US 17. That would be to institute access management, full access management. Islands Expressway between Truman Parkway and US 80. Old River Road operational and capacity improvements. Those last three were all proposed by Chatham County. We as staff have proposed potentially purchasing transportation data and analytical tools to support the congestion management process update. That would be determined when we do the data gap analysis. There were a few serious gaps in the data that was available in 2017 when we did the last update. So when we do the analysis, if we see that we still have data gaps, things that are not available through the free data sources that we typically use, we may decide that we want to purchase additional data. Also, freight transportation plan. One of the recommendations of our CERT review is that we update our freight plan. Since that is not a required MPO planning product, but since we have a lot of freight in our study area, we think that it makes a lot of sense that we may need to bring on a consultant to help with that. Also, sea level rise study as a follow-on to the current study that Chatham County has commissioned. So those would be the special studies that we would apply for, potentially for discretionary funding either in spring or fall. We also solicit new special studies through a call for plans and studies, typically around October of each year. So this is the total budget of the draft. We've broken the funding down by major work task, administration, public involvement, data collection, systems planning and operation, and transit planning. We haven't tried to break it down to the subtask level because although we've done that for a number of years, that results in having a really cumbersome grant to administer. So we're trying to spend more time working on projects and less time administering the grants. So this year we're going to work at the work with budgets at the task level. We think it'll be a lot more efficient. Doesn't really affect the work we accomplish, except that we think it'll be a little more efficient administering the grants. With that, as I said, we're here today to solicit comments. We published the draft on April 2nd. We are going to be asking the board to adopt it on April 28th. That gives us a couple of weeks. So we are happy to receive any comments today, but you can also send us your comments after the meeting in the next, sooner is better than later, but you know, if you could get those to us, you know, no later than 2 weeks from today, that would be great. We will do our best to respond to them and the substance of the work program, and we will also be adding a comment log to the back of the document so that you can see all the comments that we received. And that's all I have, but we're happy to hear from the committee.
Teresa, I make a motion that we endorse the draft FY 2022 UPWP.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Pam Oglesby, second.
We've had a motion and a second. Do I hear any objections? Oh, should I call for discussion first or no?
Sure.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. Are there any objections? There being none, motion carries. The next item is status reports, I believe. Do we have any status reports?
I had a question. Sally, are we going to have a regular meeting?
We are going to have a regular meeting. We actually, this was really a comment period today. It was not set up to vote.
Okay.
We actually are going to be asking for a vote and an endorsement at our normal scheduled meeting.
Okay.
Well, actually, Sally's right. That was the plan. I believe you are considering a motion to endorse it today. We won't stop you, but all we're asking today is comments. And it's really up to the committee. We were going to ask you to endorse it at your next meeting, which I believe is just week after next.
It's the 26th, yeah.
Right. But if you want to endorse it today, that's fine. It's entirely up to the committee, but we'll be back to discuss again, assuming that you don't act on it today.
Well, we can still make comments.
Absolutely.
Even if we've endorsed it.
Sure.
Correct.
That's correct. Now, it's 2 weeks until the MPO board meets. So, as I said, the sooner you get your comments, the sooner we have your comments, the easier it is to respond to them. But sure. We have, up to 2 weeks to address them before the board acts. And then, we can always amend the document later as well if anything major comes up.
Okay.
So that was my question. This is Terry Talbert. So if we have additional comments, we vote today, then we'd have to come back and re-vote for the update version of this.
Well, yeah, we're not voting on this today.
We're not asking you to vote on it today. That's not, it was just agended for discussion because, when the folks in Atlanta that approved the document for our funding contracts review this, they want to make sure that all of the MPO advisory committees and members had adequate chance to review and comment. So, in order to, make that process not too compressed, rather we're having this additional meeting just to go over it and have a chance to discuss it without the need to leave the meeting with a particular action. So we're here to discuss, we're here to receive your comments. And again, feel free to send them afterward if you think of something that doesn't come up during the meeting. But we're fully prepared to come back and present at your regularly scheduled meeting as well. So it's really up to the committee, but we're not asking for action today.
Well, we can revote again at the regular meeting. And my next question was, do we need to go through all the other agenda items?
Since it's a special called meeting, you normally would only deal with the particular item that the meeting was called for.
Okay.
So I'd say the short answer is no. But, again, I'll defer to the chair.
Teresa, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
Teresa, I'd like to make a motion that we skip the rest of the agenda and move to adjournment.
I I agree with you. So I guess consider this meeting adjourned.